Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Jen, and this is my friend Jane.
Hi.
And we're talking about money matters. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back to New Every Day. On today's show, my friend Jane is here, and she was here with us last week talking about finances. And we ended last week's show with, well, if the way of getting out of debt is making a budget, how do we make a budget? So how does one, if I've never made a budget before,
right,
how do I go about starting?
Right, that's a great question. So if you've never budgeted before, I'll tell you what I did when I had to learn to budget. And yes, I did have to learn to budget. And no, I was not 19 when I learned how to budget.
So were you already in the financial game
at
that
point? I had been in the financial industry for probably 25 years.
And you'd never budgeted?
Correct.
Okay, I don't feel quite so bad.
And I had not been doing finances God's way.
Okay.
Either. So let's just, you know, clarify that. So God had to do a huge work in me to get me where I am today. And I'm still a work in progress. Okay. So okay. I still falter. I still have situations that I don't give over to God with my money. And I have a tendency of calling it mine and not his. So I am still a work in progress. So
it's never too late to start budgeting.
It is never too late to start budgeting.
Okay.
So what I did is, because I'm a visual person, I actually got a little small notebook, and for 1 month I recorded every penny I spent. So I didn't make any changes in that first month. I did exactly what I'd been doing. I wanted to first determine where my money was going. And the only way to do that is to keep track of it. So it's a pain to do, but it's crucial to do it, because you will see a pattern developing, and you will see where it is that your money is going, and then you will be in a better position to determine what changes need to be made in your life. So
you're not talking about just bills.
No.
You're talking about like the 50 cents that your child asks you to go get like some penny candy at the...
Everything.
Okay.
Record every penny. If your paycheck is $503.75 and it's all gone, then you have to account for $503.75.
Okay. So keep track.
Yeah. So keep track is the first thing. And then the second thing is, if you're married, please do this together and agree on it together. And then together sit down and determine where the patterns are, and then agree together what are some initial steps that you can take to make changes. So look at patterns. So for example, are you each stopping at Tim Hortons in the morning on your way to work? Are you, because you were running late, did you grab a coffee and a bagel, for example, and that was your breakfast? So, you know, look for those kinds of patterns, and then determine what changes you can make in your spending habits. And then that really is what a budget is right. Figure out where your money goes and then make changes to that. Because either, one of two things has to happen. You either have more money coming in, or you have to eliminate what goes out to have a balanced book. So either somebody needs to get a second job or a third job, or you need to eliminate some things out of your spending, and you have to decide as a family what that's going to look like.
So as I was listening, Jane said it was so important that if you're married, that the husband and wife are on the same page with this.
You are one. One.
And so I'm going to guess that very often people will come into you with coming and saying, how do we get out of debt so we can, you know, with the comma.
Yes.
Or maybe with the hope that it is a period.
Yes.
But they have two very different mindsets.
Yes, they have either two very different mindsets, or I will hear, it is very common to hear, my wife is the spender. Or, yeah, my husband. So, which right there says they are not on the same page, because they are blaming one another instead of saying we. Like, honestly, folks, if you're married, it is our debt. These are the changes we are going to make. Is a much different attitude towards making changes. It's not just an attitude about the debt, but it's also about the attitude of a willingness to make changes to that.
Right, because it's so easy to blame that other person and vice versa, right? Because usually what you do to someone, they will do back to you. So if you blame your spouse, well, you are always spending the money. And if they can easily say back, yeah, but you never give me any money to spend.
That's right.
Or you've put me in charge of the finances or whatever, right? So this, so the blame game just becomes like ping pong, just going back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
So it's so important that if you together or one of you says, there's an issue here with our spending, with our debt load, then you both have to agree in order to really move forward in this,
right,
to get some sort of handle on it and move forward.
Right. Now, the ideal would be that, because often it actually is one, usually, who has a greater difficulty with it than the other, but if that one isn't honest with their spouse in already early in their relationship, it ought not to be at a point when you're, you know, in financial difficulty. It ought to be already early in your relationship that we talk about money before we get married. That would be like what we should be doing, is talking about money before we get married, and talking about how we're going to manage and who's going to look after it. And am I good with money? Having that open and honest conversation with one another about, you know, Jen, I'm not good with money. So it would be better if you just gave me an allowance and then that's all I got. And you looked after our money. That would be helpful until I get a handle on this.
Right.
Right.
So we're going to pause for a commercial break. And the question I want you to ask, or even mull around in your head, is what is, like, what is your attitude towards money? Like, are you a spender? Are you a, like, have you blamed someone else for saying, well, I spend this money because? So really, what is your attitude towards money and getting out of debt and this whole idea of budgeting? Because when Jane mentioned, you know, write everything down, I'm just like, that takes all the fun out of everything. So think about that for a few minutes, and we'll be back right after this commercial break.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on,
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are interested in helping out with the financing of this show and helping it just move forward every week, then we encourage you to visit our website at neweveryday.tv. So please check us out there and see how you could help financially support us so we can then help you. So we ended off right before we went to the commercial break with asking some more personal questions, like what is my attitude towards debt? Am I a spender? Do I blame other people? Or what is my attitude towards, you know, keeping track of everything? So I was saying to Jane, okay, I've kept track of everything and I give it to you.
Now what?
Now what do we do? Because at this point, all I've done is kept track.
That's right.
Okay.
So you've kept track. So the first thing that we would do together is we would figure out what are some of those discretionary spending that we can eliminate from your spending. So for example, for many of us who enjoy our Tim Hortons coffee, it might be the number of times we stop at Tim Hortons, for example, or are we stopping for an extra large Tim Hortons and do we need to make that a small or a medium Tim Hortons instead?
Right. So Tim Hortons is a coffee place in Canada. If you're tuning in the States, then it'd be like your Dunkin' Donuts, or abroad might be any number of coffee places.
But that,
we have a drive-through Tim Hortons coffee place that literally it's on every single corner. So we don't say we're going to stop for a coffee. We say we're going to stop for Tim Hortons.
That's right.
So yes.
So when I did my own budget, stopping for coffee was one of my things. And so what I did is I determined, after I had worked through my budget, what was a reasonable sum of money that I would allow myself for coffee. And I actually put that on a card, because here in Canada you can buy a Tim Hortons card and you load some money on it, and that was it. So when it was gone, it was gone. So if I chose to stop every day, then that meant after 3 days I wasn't going to have coffee. Right? So I'm just like, so something like that can work, but that's just one example of what could work. So that to me is a discretionary spending, because many of us, if not all of us, would have a coffee maker at home and a good thermal mug. You can make your own coffee at home and obviously eliminate the bulk of your cost for stopping for a coffee. And for many people, it's not just a coffee that they're stopping for. They're stopping for a coffee and a muffin, or a coffee and a bagel, because they left work too late and didn't have time for breakfast at home. So preparing in advance and having the right food in the house so that you're bringing your own, grabbing a banana off the table doesn't take any more time than going through Tim Hortons, and it's a lot healthier for you. So things like that.
So this whole idea about getting out of debt, I think part of it is it's going to take a time commitment and forethought. Like you said, you go to the grocery store and you actually think ahead, or you make meals the night ahead, or you don't go to bed so late so that in the morning you can get out. So it really does come down to...
You have to plan.
Planning.
You have to plan, yes. So planning is key. And again, I can't stress enough that if you are a married couple, you have to both be on the same page. It will not work if only one of you is committed to getting out of debt. And you cannot compare yourself to everyone around you. This is between you and God and what God is calling you to do. So make those changes and live out the way he's calling you to, and ask him to walk beside you, which he is anyway, but just ask him to help you along the way as you're working through. And so discretionary spending is one. And the other is that whole idea of what do I really need?
Yes.
So many of us, I believe many of us here in North America particularly, struggle with calling something a need that is actually a want. So for example, I need cable is not really a need. We do not need cable TV or satellite. We don't need it.
Is that right up there with we don't need internet either?
No, we don't need internet either.
Okay.
I'm just saying we don't need it. There are options. And I would argue that those of you who are parents who say, yes, my children need internet because of the school projects, if we as parents took time to take our kids to the library, we could actually accomplish those school projects at the library. Okay. And the library has free internet. So I'll just argue that right back at you.
Because it's so easy to say, but I need the TV. Like, mm-hmm. I need the satellite. I need the cable. I need the internet. Right. Oh, I also need my air conditioning set at 65 mm-hmm. versus, like, mm-hmm. opening the windows. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we also need two jobs. We both need to work mm-hmm. because we have to pay the mortgage. Okay. For what size house is it that we're living in?
Okay. She's hitting close to home. Like, because, mm-hmm. well, don't you need a room for yourself and mm-hmm. a room for each of your kids? And then when you have somebody come over, you need a room for them. Mm-hmm. And then we need an office. Mm-hmm. So easily, you mm-hmm. need at least four bedrooms.
Do you know how many times she said need?
need.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying
none of those were needs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's choices.
It is choices.
Okay.
Yes.
Friends of mine chose, when they first got married, to live in a smaller house. Mm-hmm. So their daughters shared a room mm-hmm. because family time and paying off the mortgage was more important mm-hmm. Than everybody having their own space that they could retreat to. Mm-hmm. So for them, it was like, no, family is important for us. So the smaller house is really mm-hmm. all we need. Because so often, at least in North America, it's like you start off in a small apartment. And it's like, okay, we have kids. And it just gets bigger and bigger. And then you have to downsize anyways. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I think you're right. It's like, what do we mm-hmm. need? Mm-hmm. And so we figured out what the discretionary stuff is mm-hmm. and what the needs are.
Right. So, and the reason I mention that is really because, as I had said previously, in order to get to a balanced budget, one of two things has to happen. You either have to have more money coming in or you have to eliminate some of what's going out. That's it. Right. If getting a second job at this point is not an option, or having more money come in is not an option, then you have to find ways to eliminate from what you're spending. So to me, you look for those things that are immediate and obvious. So, you know, eating out is an immediate and obvious thing that you can eliminate. Stopping and internet and cable would be another immediate and obvious one that we might have to eliminate from our budget.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And perhaps if you are a two-car family, perhaps you may need to look at going down to one vehicle and seeing what that might look like.
I only smile because in our previous conversation with Jane, Carrie was a part of it.
Yes.
And she said to me, she's like, you know what I loved about our conversation with Jane? She said, you know, it's cheaper to buy a snowsuit than it is to buy a car. And Jane doesn't own a car. She actually walks everywhere she mm-hmm. goes. And it is cheaper to buy a snowsuit. And you can be healthy. And it's been really interesting to watch how God has provided for you mm-hmm. in so many really cool ways. Mm-hmm. Because, and it sounds weird, surrender my need for a car mm-hmm. to God so I can be financially free? Mm-hmm. That sounds like craziness. Because I know when I left my previous job, I said to the, I said to the Lord, God, I live in Canada. Mm-hmm. I need a place to stay. So I need a warm place over my head because we have cold winters. And I need food to eat, because I'm human, and I need a car because my house is in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I need a car. So the thought of surrendering a car when, because you live by yourself, so it's not as if you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to borrow, you know, your car today. It's like.
Mm-hmm. Now, in all fairness, that's absolutely true. I do not own a car currently. I do have my driver's license, though, and I do really enjoy driving. And I would love someday to be able to own a car, but it just not right now. God has said no right now, and so it's no right now. But I live and work within a distance of one another that it makes it such that I'm able to walk. And it's been pretty interesting for me, just that journey of surrendering that, because I did have my own car. I am a very independent person. And so surrendering that to God was actually quite a journey for me to be able to give that up. Yeah, and give that over. So I should say.
We're going to pause right there. I feel like whenever we get together with Jane, we're pushing pause. Like, the story just doesn't end. But we're going to pause right there because she has said something really cool, that whole idea of surrendering that to God. Mm-hmm. And there's something about when our finances need to get in order, it comes with surrendering to God first. So we're going to give you another week to think about this, to think about, okay, what about budgeting and what are my discretionary things that I'm spending that I shouldn't be, or what are my thinking my needs are, but they're not really needs, they're wants. And I want you to sort of percolate on that throughout the coming week and just say, God, okay, where are my finances at this week? And so we're going to pray and then we'll sign off. So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Jane and this conversation. And this whole idea of what are needs and what are wants, and how does, how does that contribute to my debt load in finances? And so, Father, I ask for our viewers this week that you would encourage them to be honest with you, to let you sort through some of their finances and purchases, and Lord, because you want us to be financially free, so we are released to do the things that you've called us to do. So we ask in your name for help in our finances. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you so much for tuning in this week. We look forward to seeing you back here again next week. Have a great week.